To the victor go the spoils. An original story by Suzuki Blue. Read by Zancredible. The dragon arrived early in the morning, and by noon the entire village was in a panic in the town hall. No one in the village knew anything about dragons, aside from what they had heard in fairy tales and stories, and the plans for dealing with it were about that level of sophisticated. "We're not sacrificing a virgin to the dragon," Victor said in exasperation. "Well, what would you do?" the mayor demanded. "I'm going to talk to it," Victor said, reasonably, and got up from his seat and went to do just that. Victor was a plain-faced, unmarried, and childless Omega with no designs on changing any of that, and nearly too old to bear children anyway. He did not make friends easily, and kept them even less easily, had very decided opinions, and was the best blacksmith in the village, but not the only one. No one tried to stop him from going to talk to the dragon, was the point here. The dragon was out in the fields, picking off sheep one at a time. Victor watched resignedly for a few minutes from a distance, figuring they'd be in a better mood if they were full. They weren't as big as he would have expected a dragon to be, closer to the size of a particularly large draft horse than the anticipated magical monster. They were still certainly big enough to kill him, of course, and probably devour at least half of him. The dragon licked blood off their chops, then lazily jumped into the air and started to chase the surviving sheep to and fro in the field. None of them were happy about it. Victor figured this was the best time to interrupt, since they just seemed to be messing around at this point, and picked his way down the hill. "Hello!" he called out. The dragon ignored him. "Excuse me!" The dragon swooped by overhead without a word, on bat-like wings, and the sheep fled in terror. It was a long, graceful thing, built, unsurprisingly, like a tremendous lizard, and its teeth and claws were massive and its scales were the brightest green Victor might have ever seen. Dragons could talk, couldn't they? "You can talk, can't you?" he asked skeptically, and finally the dragon landed and gave him a withering look. He wasn't entirely sure how he could tell it was a withering look, considering how completely inhuman a face it was on, but somehow he could.
"Of course I can talk,"
the dragon said. Its eyes were golden.
"What a stupid question."
"Oh," Victor said. In his defense, the dragon hadn't been talking. He looked up at them. The dragon really was very large, especially with their wings spread. He'd been expecting bigger, yes, but still, Victor didn't think he'd ever seen a living creature that size. "About the sheep?"
"They are delicious,"
the dragon said, licking their chops again. "They're also expensive. Could you stop eating them, please?" The dragon looked at him in bafflement, then laughed. Victor was used to being taken about that seriously, but sighed all the same. Apparently, even dragons didn't respect Omegas, though admittedly, the dragon might just not respect humans. "It was a serious question. Look, I'm Victor. What's your name?"
"A dragon needs no name,"
the dragon said dismissively, which was probably true. Victor doubted they needed to introduce themselves very often.
"Victor, you say? So they've sent a champion to slay me."
"What? No," Victor said, scowling at the thought. "I'm not a champion. I'm a blacksmith. I don't slay people."
"That is quite a name for not a champion to carry,"
the dragon said, an odd light glittering in their eyes. "It was my grandfather's."
"So you don't slay people, you say? Not even people like me?"
"I don't see how I don't slay people didn't cover that."
Those big, strong arms can't swing a sword.
If I wanted to lop off my own head, maybe. Listen, I wasn't kidding about how expensive the sheep are. Can't you eat, I don't know, deer or something?
I like sheep,
the dragon said, getting to their feet to prowl a circle around him. Victor did not relish the experience. They're our sheep, he said. The dragon laughed again and prowled another circle around him. Victor was probably about to get eaten, he realized. Well, he never had been very good at talking to people.
You know, traditionally I'm offered the loveliest virgin in the village,
the dragon mentioned idly. Victor gave them an annoyed look, folding his arms across his chest.
You're a bit older than most, I must say.
We are not giving you a virgin, Victor said. He sure as hell wasn't one, much less anyone's idea of lovely. His skin was too rough and his hands were scarred from the forge, and he looked more like an alpha than an omega, big and broad instead of small and dainty. Or so everyone had always told him anyway. He'd certainly never gone to any special effort to be more omega-like. What, not enough sheep?
Maybe,
the dragon said, looping their tail around him. Victor stiffened and waited to be bitten in half. The dragon didn't, though, or at least not yet.
Perhaps I'll just take you, if you are all your village has to offer. Perhaps then they'll send a proper champion.
They won't, Victor said. He wasn't that valuable to the village, and certainly not beloved enough. They'd get by fine with Johann's slightly inferior smithing and consider themselves lucky.
We'll see, won't we?
The dragon said, then grabbed him in their enormous claws and leapt into the air. Flying, it turned out, was terrifying. The dragon didn't fly for very long, fortunately, up the mountain a bit, but only a bit. They seemed to have picked out a cave there and dropped Victor at the mouth of it. He peered down the side of the mountain below and noticed that there was most definitely no way to get down without wings. He could see the village from here, but it was distant. A short flight could go very far, it seemed. Please tell me there aren't any bears in there, he said, glancing back at the cave. He might rather be flying.
Not anymore,
the dragon purred, settling down beside him and inspecting the mountain below with every sign of satisfaction.
A fine challenge for a champion. When they come for you, Victor, I shall devour them down to their bones.
They won't be coming for me, Victor said. The dragon ignored him and headed into the cave. Victor looked down the mountainside again, then followed them. He wasn't really sure what else to do. The dragon would be eating him soon enough, he supposed, but for the time being, he didn't really feel like standing around uselessly waiting for it to happen. The inside of the cave was large and dark, unsurprisingly, but the dragon's scales glittered even in the darkness. Victor expected a hoard. Dragons always had a hoard, didn't they? But found nothing but bones. Maybe it was farther back, he thought. Not exactly what I would have pictured for a dragon's lair, he said. The dragon chuckled and moved deeper into the cave. Victor still didn't see any sign of a hoard, unless the bones counted.
Have you spent much time picturing dragon's lairs?
A bit, Victor said, looking around. A very vivid bit, the past few minutes he'd spent being carried off. It was just a normal cave, though, as far as he could tell. It looked just like the ones he'd used to explore as a child, except for the dragon in the back of it. You need to sweep. The dragon laughed and passed their tail across the floor mockingly, sweeping dirt and dust onto Victor's boots. He sighed. This was going to be a very strange way to die, he thought. Sleeping on the floor of the cave was cold and miserable, and Victor only managed it because of the exhaustion. He should be trying to escape, probably, but how could he? There was no way to get down the mountain without the dragon, and climbing higher wouldn't do him any good. He wasn't resigned exactly, but it was unavoidable. He was going to die. The dragon would keep him around until they realized no one was coming for him, and then he'd meet the same fate as all those panicking sheep in the field and the unlucky bear who had lived in this cave before. He'd at least like to die more like a bear than a sheep, he thought. He didn't know what else he could do. Not that it mattered, he supposed. The dragon was going to be the only one to see the way he died. When he woke up, the dragon was gone, presumably to eat more sheep, or maybe another bear. Victor was starving himself, so figured that made sense. Probably dragons did not feed their sacrifices, though, so he went looking through the cave in pursuit of something. A hidden path, something to eat, maybe just something to do. He found some mushrooms, but had no idea if they were edible or not. He'd never been all that woodsy. Otherwise, he turned up dust and dirt and rocks and not much else of note. The least a dragon could have done was leave him something to do. Waiting to die was incredibly boring, actually, and Victor spent most of the afternoon trying to figure out if maybe he could get down the mountain alone after all. He considered trying it once or twice, but he didn't want to fall and break anything, much less die any earlier than he was already going to. Probably a bear would have tried to make the climb, but bears are much better climbers than humans. Obviously, since one had gotten up here to begin with. The dragon returned in the early evening, by which point Victor was so bored he was actually glad to see it. He was used to keeping busy, and being idle like this was borderline torment. "Are you trying to starve me to death or bore me to death?" Victor asked the dragon.
"Ah, yes, that infamous human patience,"
the dragon said, settling in quite contentedly amongst the rocks.
"It's hardly been a day. What are you so hungry for, Victor?"
"Humans eat multiple times a day," Victor informed them. "And humans do things with their day."
"Nothing particularly important in my experience,"
Victor sighed. Well, it wasn't like he'd expected sympathy. "There isn't even any water here," he said. The dragon looked at him blankly. It occurred to Victor that a dragon would have no reason to know what a human needed to stay alive, which was probably going to be a problem for him. "I need water. Don't dragons have to drink?"
"Of course we do,"
the dragon scoffed. "So it didn't occur to you that a human would too, or..." Victor trailed off meaningfully, resting his chin in his hand. The dragon scowled at him.
"You are a very difficult sacrifice, you know. A proper one would be properly differential."
"I'm properly starving," Victor replied frankly. The dragon huffed, then got to its feet.
"If only you'll stop whining,"
they said witheringly and took off into the sky. Victor watched them go. There was something sort of lovely about watching them fly, if one ignored the part where they were a man-eating monster and presumably on their way to kill something. But only if one ignored that part, of course. The dragon returned with a dead deer, eventually, and seemed to expect Victor to eat it raw. Victor wanted to actually be able to keep his dinner down, so did his best to collect what little wood was available in the area and try to get a fire going.
"I thought you were hungry."
"Starving," Victor agreed, sticking some dead grass in the little pile of wood he'd gathered. "Do dragons actually breathe fire, or is that just a story?"
"Of course we do,"
the dragon said haughtily.
"Dragons can do things no pitiful human story could even dream of."
"Great," Victor said, and leaned back from his carefully constructed pile. "Don't suppose you could set this on fire, then? Just a bit, mind. I need a fire, not ashes."
"Is this a human thing?"
the dragon said, clearly mystified. "Definitely. I need it to eat." Victor was trying to figure out if he'd be able to set up a spit or would need to figure out a different way to roast the deer. The dragon looked annoyed.
"Human things make no sense,"
they said, but then blew fire at the wood after all. They nearly scorched Victor in the process, but he considered it a victory all the same. "Thanks."
"When your village's champion comes for you, I will cook them in the armor just the same."
"No one's coming for me," Victor reminded them and got to setting up the spit. The dragon just snorted. Victor ate himself practically sick on deer, then spent another miserable night on the cave floor. There wasn't very much wood, so he couldn't keep the fire going. Maybe higher up the mountain there might be some, he thought. He'd have to check in the morning. By the time he woke up, the dragon was gone again, though there was another dead deer laying at the mouth of the cave. This one had clearly had fire breathed at it and was fairly well cooked. Victor considered it another small victory. After breakfast, he climbed up above the cave in the hopes of finding wood and water. It wasn't so sheer as the cliff below, and he managed fairly well, but it was still stressful. He'd avoided doing it yesterday because he'd been more worried about getting down, but clearly that wasn't happening. After some struggle, he made his way through the rocks and scratchy underbrush to find, mercifully, a mountain spring with a few scrubby trees surrounding it. He drank his fill and took a very cold bath, then started trying to figure out how he could get enough wood for a fire with no axe to speak of and no safe way to carry it down. All he had on him were the clothes on his back and his grandfather's hunting knife, and that was unlikely to be useful here. That was where the dragon found him.
"What on earth are you doing?"
"Human things, are you going to kill me yet?"
"I would rather fight your village champion. I do so enjoy a proper fight."
"I told you, no one's coming for me." Victor was dragging some of the heavier branches he'd managed to break off towards the edge of the small cliff he'd climbed to get up here. He could throw them down to the cave, probably, as long as he was careful about how he aimed.
"Of course someone will come. Someone always comes."
"I'm not that valuable," Victor said dismissively, dropping one of the branches over the side and peering down after it. Mercifully, it landed in front of the cave. "I'll be 40 in another 2 winters.
"And?"
the dragon said, clearly bemused. "That's old for an unmarried Omega," Victor said, gesturing at the bits of grey peppering his dark hair. "Wouldn't get very many children out of me, even if I did get married. And I don't have any friends, so..." He shrugged and threw down more of the wood.
"I don't understand,"
the dragon said, and honestly sounded like they didn't. "Don't worry about it," Victor told them, and started climbing back down. He wasn't, personally. The dragon waited 3 days in the end.
"Where is their champion?"
they demanded furiously, stalking back and forth in front of the cave. Victor watched them pace, aware that his borrowed time had run out, but at the same time oddly entertained by the sight. Even a dragon could get impatient, it seemed.
"I could have eaten you by now, several times over."
"I told you," Victor said reasonably. He was putting together a little fire pit with a few of the stones from the cave. He didn't really need one, obviously. It had just seemed tidier once the idea had occurred to him. It was pointless to keep putting it together now, but he'd already started, so...
"They always send a champion. When has a village ever not sent a champion?"
I feel like that probably happens more often than you're letting on, Victor said, carefully adjusting one of the stones around his fire pit. The mayor had been considering a virgin sacrifice. That wasn't exactly a send a champion kind of plan, and that had been before it had been him the dragon had taken.
It never happens! What's wrong with you that they wouldn't come?
Unmarried, no children, no friends, Victor reminded him. He adjusted another one of the stones. People tell me I'm difficult, whatever that means.
You are difficult!
I just said so, didn't I? Victor decided to put another row of stones around the fire pit. I also told you no one was coming, if you'll remember.
You've said yes,
the dragon said crossly, pacing across his field of vision again and breathing steam.
How are they not coming? You are one of them, aren't you?
Do you really want me to explain it again? Victor said with a sigh, resting his chin in his hand. He didn't like repeating himself that much.
They're supposed to come!
The dragon fumed, stomping the ground and cracking the stone. Victor would have been impressed, but he supposed that kind of thing was expected for a dragon. Well, they're not. The dragon breathed steam again, the tail lashing angrily behind them as they drew themselves upright. Victor expected to either be cooked or bitten in half, but the dragon didn't do either.
What is wrong with your village?
Victor blinked, slowly. Nothing. I'm just not that valuable to anyone there. Can't say I'd get myself killed for most of them either, so...
You came to me to begin with. What exactly made you think that wouldn't involve getting yourself killed?
I don't know. We didn't really know anything about you.
Dragons eat humans. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows a lot of things, Victor said with a shrug. That doesn't always make them right. The dragon stared at him. He looked back at it.
You're impossible!
Victor frowned. He didn't think he was saying anything difficult. Then again, he usually didn't, and other people still thought he was. Sorry you didn't get your fight.
You are the strangest creature I have ever met, Victor.
The dragon said, and then dropped off the cliff and swooped off into the sky. Victor watched him go, wondering how much longer he had to live. The dragon didn't come back, at least not for the first day. Victor spent the time finishing his fire pit, collecting wood he probably wouldn't need, and taking a bath. There was nothing to actually cook, and he didn't know how to start a fire without a convenient dragon or tinderbox to hand, so he went hungry and cold, but he was getting fairly used to that. The dragon really had no idea how to take care of a human. He had no idea why they hadn't killed him outright, but assumed he'd be starving to death soon enough. He knew nothing about hunting and very few edible plants, none of which seemed to be growing among the mountain's scrubby underbrush, so it was really just a matter of time. It wasn't like the dragon was going to come back after all. Then the dragon came back. What the hell? Victor said as he came out of the cave and nearly tripped over a dead and thoroughly cooked elk. The dragon was perched on the edge of the cliff, looking peeved.
Eat!
I can't eat an entire elk. Victor hadn't even been able to eat the entire deer. He had no idea why the dragon had bothered hunting down an elk.
Then eat what you can, obviously.
The dragon said, still looking peeved. The tail was lashing.
And be quick about it. We haven't got all day.
What, do we have an appointment?
We have places to be.
Where? The dragon huffed and turned away. Victor figured that was the best he was getting out of them, and went to harvesting a decent cut of meat from the elk's side. He really was lucky he'd had his grandfather's knife on him when the dragon had taken him. He rarely ever used the thing, carrying it more out of sentimentality than anything else, but it had been coming in handy these past few days. Victor ate, and the dragon waited impatiently for him to finish. Victor really didn't see what could possibly be that time-sensitive, but avoided dawdling anyway. Making the dragon wait was probably not the best idea. Also, this probably meant more flying, which sounded like a horrible time. Victor finished eating resignedly, and the dragon scooped him off the ground and took off. Victor decided keeping his eyes closed was the better part of valor, but it only helped so much. Being suspended much higher above the ground than he wanted to think about did not get less upsetting when you weren't looking, because then you had to imagine how high up you were, and, well, Victor's imagination was happy to supply all the worst-case scenarios. Alternately, he could look and know for a fact how high above the ground he was. He kept his eyes closed. It was a very long flight. The dragon deposited Victor on solid ground, and Victor opened his eyes to find himself standing, of all places, outside of a house. A very large house, in fact, much larger than any he'd seen before. It was stone, and looked very old and very empty. At least, no one had been taking care of it for a while. "What the hell?" he said.
"Go in,"
the dragon said insistently. Victor did, too bemused to protest. Inside the house seemed even bigger, partially because the rooms appeared to all be completely empty, and partially because it was, in fact, big enough that the dragon could follow him in. "Did you eat someone?" Victor asked.
"Yes, but not here. No one lives here."
"Then why are we here?" The dragon ignored him, and strode past him to the wide stone stairs, picking their way up them delicately. Victor looked back towards the front door for a moment, and then followed them, for lack of a better idea. It wasn't like he'd get far if he tried to run away. The house really was enormous. Victor had no idea who'd leave a place this size to rot like this. There was old, ruined furniture in a few of the rooms, but overall the place was empty and dusty, and clearly long unloved. He couldn't smell a single person anywhere in the place.
"Well?"
"It's big," Victor said. The dragon preened.
"It is the biggest."
They agreed, and then without further preamble, they went back downstairs and left. Victor watched them fly away out one of the upstairs windows, baffled. He had no idea what the point of this was. He looked around until he found a broom in the kitchen and then started sweeping away the dust and cobwebs. He might as well, he supposed. The house was high on a cliff, surrounded on most sides by the biggest lake Victor had ever seen, one so vast he couldn't even see what lay on the other side, and on the last side by miles and miles of meadow that Victor could also not see the end of. There was a well and a stable and a dead garden out back, and wildflowers growing in the cracks in the foundation. It was lovely, actually, though Victor continued to have no idea what he was doing here. The dragon returned around dusk, carrying a freshly killed deer. Victor dragged it into the kitchen and found a tinderbox in a near-empty pantry, then lit the oven with it and cooked himself some dinner. The dragon ate the rest of the deer, then spent the time Victor's share was cooking, draped along the very large counter in the center of the room, taking up quite a lot of space. Their tail was on the floor. They seemed to be smug about something. "What's got you so pleased?" Victor asked suspiciously.
"Nothing, Victor,"
the dragon said. Victor could just hear the sea in his name.
"How is your deer?"
"Fine," Victor said, because he was getting sick of deer, but at least it was something. I mean, it's not seasoned or anything, but beggars can't be choosers and all.
Seasoned?
The dragon wrinkled its nose. Victor supposed dragons didn't bother with seasoning, unless char counted. Human thing, he said with a shrug. It makes food taste better.
Seasoned,
the dragon repeated, sounding mystified. How did you find this place? Victor asked, figuring the why wasn't getting any more answer than last time.
It was easy. It's much better than your old den, yes. All the dens in your village were so small.
It's bigger, definitely, Victor said. Although, my old den had a bed, though, and a lot more to do. Books and things, you know? The dragon looked cross.
Ungrateful,
they said, which was the first time Victor realized the dragon was trying to please him. He blinked and tilted his head. The dragon stepped down from the counter, visibly annoyed, and left the kitchen. Victor considered following them, but, well, he wasn't sure what precisely kept him from following them. He ate the rest of his deer, and by the time he was done, the dragon was gone. Victor slept on the kitchen floor and woke up the late next morning with a crick in his neck. He was really too old to be sleeping on the floor, but it was better than the cave had been. At least the kitchen he'd been able to keep fairly warm. There was plenty of firewood out back. He really needed to figure out some kind of bed situation, though, since the dragon didn't appear to want to kill him yet. He had no idea why the other was keeping him around. If they didn't want to kill him, why wouldn't they just let him go? But clearly it was happening, so he was going to have to deal with it. The house was less of a trap than a cave had been, obviously, but Victor still had no idea where any other people might be or how to make his way to them. He supposed he could just cross the fields and keep walking until he found some sign of other humans, but it looked to be a long, long walk. From the highest window of the house, he could see distant trees, but running away into a forest would bring up its own set of problems. He sighed and fed the guttering embers of the fire in the oven, and then headed out to the main room to... He blinked. Blinked again. The messy pile of mattresses in the middle of the parlor did not disappear, nor did they start making sense. He walked over to them, mystified, and found, along with the mattresses, several lightly clawed blankets and two crates, one full of various books and one full of kitchen supplies, flour and sugar and bowls and knives and all sorts of other useful things, as well as no shortage of seasonings. What? What? The dragon was outside, sunning themselves in the courtyard. Victor approached them, still mystified and not really sure what to say. "Why don't you have a horde?" he asked, instead of saying something useful. The dragon gave him a blank look. "Dragons do have hordes, don't they?"
"Of course. I shall have a fine horde one day, the finest of any."
"But you don't have one now."
"So?"
"I just thought all dragons did," Victor said. The dragon gave him an unimpressed look and got to their feet.
"I just said that I will,"
they said impatiently. Victor wondered how an ancient creature of magic and myth could get impatient so easily. "You did," he agreed, and then it occurred to him to ask, "How old are you? For a dragon, I mean."
"Old enough to fight champions. And soon I will build a lovely horde with the grandest of treasures and grow ever more fearsome and powerful."
"You're a kid," Victor realized. The dragon made an offended sound.
"I am not. Do I look like a hatchling to you?"
"I don't know what a hatchling looks like."
"Not like me. I am grown.
How recently? Victor asked warily. The dragon made a face at him, which answered that question. Oh my god, I've been sacrificed to a teenager.
I don't even know what that is,
the dragon said in exasperation, tail swishing back and forth.
I am not a teenager. I am old enough to have a horde of my own, and nest where I please, and take a mate and raise a clutch if I so desire.
You just said you don't even know what a teenager is, Victor said, and the dragon made a face at him again.
I am grown. I am certainly older than you. Not even 40. I was barely out of the nest at 40.
40 is getting up there for a human. How old do dragons get?
As old as we like,
the dragon said smugly, which definitely skewed the numbers there. Still. Gods, Victor said. Of course he'd get kidnapped by a dragon that was, arguably, half his age. Of course. What was he even supposed to do with that? If you're old enough for a horde and a mate, why don't you have one?
Asks the unmated Omega,
the dragon said dryly, and Victor flushed in embarrassment.
I will mate when I wish to mate. I am a dragon, after all. I have all the time in the world.
I guess so. Dragons had a lot more time to meet someone they were compatible with, Victor supposed.
Why don't you have a mate? Obviously you would lack a horde. Humans are too foolish to see the splendor of those. But you have had long enough to choose a mate, yes?
I just don't, Victor said, embarrassed again. Why had he brought this up? He should know better. I'm not exactly desirable, and I don't get along with other people well enough to make up for that.
You certainly don't,
the dragon agreed. Victor folded his arms, frowning at them. He'd said it himself. The dragon didn't need to rub it in. He'd lived long enough to know perfectly well what he was like, and he was fine with what he was like. He'd be different if he weren't. Where did you get the kitchen things? And the books?
I asked for them,
the dragon said dismissively. Asked who?
Does it matter?
If you ate them, yes.
I did not,
the dragon said, pacing a circle around him. Victor turned to follow them.
I was full.
Victor wasn't sure if that was a relief to hear or not. Since the dragon didn't bother clarifying what they'd been full of, he decided it wasn't. Why are you getting me things? I thought you were going to kill me.
I kill what I want to kill. Nothing more,
the dragon said, eyes flashing in annoyance. Victor couldn't figure out what was annoying them. You're definitely not going to get a champion coming after me out here, you realize. Not that one ever would, as had been well established by this point, but he really didn't understand the logic the dragon was operating on here.
Champions are a dime a dozen,
the dragon said, eyes glittering.
Victors I do not meet so many of.
I'm a blacksmith, Victor reminded them. Not anyone interesting, certainly not someone to interest a dragon, even one that made as little sense as this one.
One that does not slay people,
the dragon said, as if they were agreeing. Victor understood them even less. He wanted to go home. Not because he especially missed it, honestly, but because it was his, and he knew how things worked there, and it was simple. The dragon was not. Victor didn't think he'd ever met anyone so complicated in his life. It's just you and me. Victor took the mattresses into the kitchen and made a bed in the corner. He put the books beside them and unpacked the kitchen supplies into the pantry. He continued not to understand why the dragon was trying to please him or why the dragon found him interesting. He wasn't interesting. He was quite happy not being interesting, in fact. Not being interesting had served him perfectly well in life so far, up until the dragon. He could have chosen a bedroom, but keeping just the kitchen warm seemed easier, and it was already enormous, frankly. It wasn't like he needed more space than that. He didn't exactly have any possessions to fill it up, unless the books counted. Victor sat down on the bed and went through the books. They seemed to be mostly fiction, though he didn't recognize any of them. The dragon had managed a fairly good haul, however they'd managed it. He picked out one of the more interesting-looking ones and spent the rest of the day sitting on the mattress and reading it. Eventually, the dragon dragged the deer into the kitchen, and then he had to make dinner, but he hid behind the books as he did. He didn't really know what to say to them anyway. It was confusing. Lots of things about the dragon were confusing. Victor slept like a rock on the mattresses, and woke up fully rested and with no crick in his neck, or chill, or new bruises. He wondered where the dragon slept, if they even slept at all. Victor got up and went out back to the garden. He didn't have a particular talent for gardening, but he'd managed to grow a few vegetables in his time. He figured he could get it in respectable shape if he tried. The dragon might eat him before he managed to grow anything, but at least it'd give him something to do in the meantime. The dragon was on the roof, apparently sunning themselves again. Victor ignored them in favor of searching for gardening equipment and found a hoe and a shovel abandoned in the stable. Well, it was a start. He spent the day tearing out weeds and dead plants and thorns, because he couldn't spend it at a forge, and made plans for what else he could do in the house. He could make bread, probably, and maybe get a stew going. He had the supplies now. It would lack vegetables, but he'd live. Maybe the dragon would get him seeds if he asked. He huffed out a laugh at the thought and tore out another row of thorns. He was grateful for his calluses, but would have preferred gloves. Eventually, he realized the dragon was watching him. "What?" he called up to the dragon. They tilted their head, then stepped off the roof, glided down to the courtyard, and slunk over.
"What are you doing?"
"It's a garden. I'm fixing it up."
"Is this a human thing?"
the dragon asked, and Victor sighed. "Yes. I don't suppose you can get me seeds, maybe some vegetables? Humans need to eat things besides meat. I don't want goddamn scurvy."
"Scurvy?"
the dragon repeated, wrinkling their nose. "Also a human thing," Victor said, hacking at another thorn bush with the hoe. "Not a fun one, for the record. I need oranges."
"Oranges?"
the dragon said, sounding unconvinced. "Yes." Victor dragged the remains of the thorn bush away. Maybe he'd burn it later. There was only so much wood out back, and he had no idea where to get more besides the distant forest, and no axe to be getting it with. "Fruit in general. Apples keep."
"Keep what?"
"From rotting." Victor attacked the next thorn bush, which was particularly stubborn. "Ugh, can you get a claw in here?"
"You want me to dig up your thorn bushes for you?"
"Yes," Victor said, not seeing a point in hemming and hawing about it. The dragon was a lot stronger than an old hoe. The dragon snorted, but stepped forward and dragged the bush out of the ground. "Thanks," Victor said. The dragon looked mollified and settled back on their haunches.
"You are a strange creature, Victor,"
they said, like they had any room to talk. "Like you have any room to talk," Victor said, because he never had been able to keep his damn mouth shut. The dragon laughed. Victor was so startled he nearly hit his own foot with the hoe. Unsurprisingly, there was a barrel of apples and a crate of assorted seeds and vegetables in the parlor in the morning. Victor just hoped no one had gotten eaten for them. It took a while, but the house started shaping up pretty well. Victor got it respectably clean and got the kitchen set up nice, and got the garden nearly presentable and at least functional. He ate a lot of deer and got a lot of practice with the hoe. He continued to have no idea why he wasn't dead. The dragon continued not to explain. "I still don't understand why you think I'm interesting enough not to kill," he said one evening while he was busy trying to put together a venison stew with his limited ingredients. The dragon was also taking up almost the entire kitchen counter, which did not help. "Is that a temporary thing? I'm assuming that's a temporary thing." The dragon blinked lazily at him. For a moment, he didn't expect a response, but...
"A creature like you is a treasure, Victor. Your village is full of fools to not recognize that."
Ah. It still didn't make any sense to him. Weeks passed. The garden grew, the house started to fill up with whatever the dragon saw fit to bring to it, and Victor started to get antsy. He had lost track of the days a bit, what with the whole kidnapping and expecting to die, but he knew his heat was due soon. He had caught himself nesting the other day, which did not bode well. The dragon could get just about anything he asked for, but a heat partner? Not so much, Victor was thinking. Well, they probably could, but he didn't want to encourage kidnapping. "I need to go into town somewhere," he said to the dragon that night. The dragon looked offended.
"Why? Don't I give you everything you need?"
That was a whole statement, wasn't it? Victor decided to gloss over it for his own good. "I'm going into heat soon. I need a partner."
"I thought you were too old to help,"
the dragon said, looking puzzled. "Not quite," Victor said. The dragon frowned, or did the draconic equivalent of it. Victor still didn't know how they were so easy to read with such an alien face.
"And you must go to a town for this,"
they said skeptically, tail lashing restlessly. "Unless you happen to have a knot, yes," Victor said dryly.
"I could..."
Victor blinked. He thought about following up on that, but just... no. Not right now, anyway. Whatever the dragon was talking about, that could be a later problem. "I need a town," he said firmly. The dragon's frown deepened.
"Your village did not appreciate you. Why would they soothe your heat?"
"You really don't understand how humans work. Anyway, it doesn't have to be my village. Any place with humans will do."
"You are a treasure. Humans never appreciate treasure when they have it."
"Be that as it may, I still need one," Victor said, mystified by that entire whatever the hell the dragon was talking about. And now they were calling him treasure again, too.
"What foolishness,"
the dragon said with a sigh, tail lashing again.
"Fine, I will find a place with humans for you, treasure."
"Thank you."
"Such graciousness from the ungrateful,"
the dragon said in mock surprise. "Yes, dear," Victor said dryly.
"Dear,"
the dragon said, looking offended. "You don't have a name. I might as well call you something."
"And you choose Deer?"
"Yes." Like the dragon had room to talk, they had just called him Treasure, and before that it had been Victor. The dragon made an incredulous noise and shook their head, then got to their feet and spread their massive wings.
"Call me what you like,"
they said dismissively, then leapt into the air and took off. The beating of their wings nearly knocked Victor over. They didn't scoop him up, at least, which was some mercy. Although he supposed he'd signed himself up for that already, hadn't he? The dragon disappeared into the night sky, and Victor watched him go. He wondered if the dragon would let him go after this. He wondered where he'd go if they did. The dragon returned the next morning in the middle of breakfast, looking peeved. Victor chewed over the last of his food, just watching them pace in the courtyard outside. He didn't really understand the mood. Maybe somebody else had refused to sacrifice a virgin to them. He finished up with breakfast, washed the dishes, and headed out to the courtyard, where the dragon fixed him with an accusing look.
I found humans!
I would hope so. The fact it had taken them all night was concerning enough. How far away from other people were they? And who the hell had actually built a house this far from other people? That made no sense at all. Will you take me to them?
No, I found them just for fun,
the dragon said crossly.
Of course I will take you, even if humans do not appreciate treasure. You are human yourself, of course you would know better.
I guess not, Victor said, frowning faintly at them. He still didn't understand why they were so cranky, really, was the only word he could think of. He would not previously have assumed a cranky dragon was survivable, but apparently they were. The dragon huffed, then scooped him up and took off. Victor squeezed his eyes shut. This wasn't the first time they had done this, no, but he still didn't want to know how high up they were. The whipping wind and absolute silence, aside from the beating of the dragon's wings, was bad enough. At least the dragon wasn't going to make him ride out his heat alone in a strange house with second-hand nesting material. He'd been more than a little worried about that. They flew for a very long time, long enough that Victor was sore and exhausted by the end of it. But finally, the dragon landed and let Victor down, and Victor's legs wobbled underneath him and nearly gave out.
Here we are, foolish treasure.
Victor looked around. They were on top of a large hill in a wooden area. But through the trees he could see glimpses of a town down below. It looked bigger than his village, so hopefully no one would think too much of a stranger coming through looking for a heat partner. Okay, good, great, thank you.
Yes, yes,
the dragon said, looking irritated.
There you go, all the humans you could ever want. Where's your like with them, Victor?
That's the plan, dear, Victor said. The dragon made a face at him. Maybe the dragon was just going to leave him here, he thought. Or maybe they were going to lurk around town, eating all the sheep until he was done. He didn't really know which to expect. He might have asked, but he didn't want to give the dragon any ideas. Victor took a breath, then headed forward through the trees and down the hill. The dragon didn't follow. He picked his way down the hill, careful not to trip on any of the mast and broken branches, and spent most of the journey doing his best to not think very hard about what the dragon was going to expect after his heat was over. There wasn't any reason they would expect him to come back, was there? There certainly wasn't any reason they'd want him back. He'd never even fit in his own village. Certainly a dragon wasn't going to think any differently. Besides, what would he even do out there, all alone, except for the dragon? Tell me the things that you want. I give you all that I've got. Open your eyes, then you will see. The town was deserted. Victor had no idea what to think. There was smoke coming out of the chimneys, and fresh bread in the bakery, and animals here and there, so where were all the people? He paused and remembered the dragon. Grimacing, he went to the center of town. The town hall was overflowing with people, all of them stinking of stress and fear. Okay, maybe they should have landed a bit farther away. Victor sighed and headed into the press of the crowd. A few people looked at him strangely, but no one said anything to him. He could hear voices shouting from inside the town hall. A dragon! What can we possibly do about a dragon? Something, surely, besides wait to be burned in our beds. We are going to die! Excuse me, Victor said. Be calm, man! Calm! It's a dragon! Excuse me, Victor repeated, raising his voice a little. I'm not blind! We need to send a champion! We need to find a sacrifice! Excuse me, Victor said loudly, raising a hand. A few people turned to look at him, looking suspicious or baffled. Sorry, the dragon's not here to eat anyone. And how would you know that, stranger? A man at the front demanded suspiciously. He was wearing what looked to be a chain of office, so Victor assumed he was supposed to be important. "They just dropped me off," Victor said with a sigh. Well, this was embarrassing. Nothing like being surrounded and stared at by a bunch of strangers while 5 minutes out from heat. "What?" the man in the chain of office said in bemusement. "They dropped me off. I needed to go into town." "You... what?" the man looked baffled. "Why would a dragon do something like that?" "I have no idea," Victor said resignedly. "Dragons are confusing. But if they're going to eat anyone, it will probably be me anyway." "He's with the beast!" someone cried in horror, and things went downhill from there. Victor thumped his head back against the cold wall of his cell and deeply, deeply regretted attempting to be truthful with the town. Absolutely nothing he had said had stopped the town guards from locking him up or the townsfolk from cursing and screaming at him, and he was fairly certain they were going to kill him in the morning. At least, quite a lot of them certainly wanted to. They thought he was some kind of... he didn't know. A scout or something for the dragon. He didn't really understand the logic of killing a dragon scout, since it seemed like it would just annoy the dragon, but the guards had not been convinced by that logic. So far, his logic did not seem to be the kind that this town appreciated. His skin was too warm, and he skittered his fingers along it restlessly. He would be in full heat soon enough, which sounded like hell. No one was going to soothe his heat for him while he was locked up like this. Worse, he was going to get executed in the middle of it. What a miserable way to go. He already wanted to be touched far more than the situation should have let him want to be touched. It was going to be a long and awful night. Victor tried to sleep. It didn't work. He squeezed his eyes shut and curled up in as tight a ball as he could and tried to think about anything other than how badly he needed someone to come and take care of his problem. But that just led him to thinking about bigger problems and how dead he was, and that really, really did not help. At least a dragon would have just eaten him. He had no idea what these people were going to do. Torture him? Hang him? Cut off his head? He really wasn't coming up with any merciful ideas. He laid there for a long time, trying not to think at all, and the night slowly passed. By morning he felt reasonably calm about dying and also liked clawing his skin off just to get relief from the burning ache his heat was bringing on him. It wasn't actually full heat, not without a sympathetic partner's pheromones to close the loop, but it was bad enough. He felt like climbing the damn walls. It was still better than being on the chopping block, he supposed, but of course that didn't last. Eventually, the town guards turned up and dragged him out of his cell. "I suppose a trial would be too much to hope for," Victor said. "You confessed to allying yourself with a dragon in front of the whole town," one of the guards said, which was a fair enough response. Still, "I don't think that means what you think it means," Victor said. The guards were not moved. They dragged him out into the street, which he thought was unnecessary. He could walk if they'd just unshackle his legs, and took him back toward the center of town. Victor hoped for a quick beheading. He supposed he had been on borrowed time, all things considered. Probably humans would at least bury him somewhere, as opposed to, devouring him. Even an unmarked grave was still a grave, and that was... They passed a group of townsfolk carrying stacks of firewood. Victor paused. Surely not, he thought. Surely not. They reached the center of town, and all the color drained out of his face. "You're going to burn me at the stake?" he said in horrified disbelief, staring at the massive woodpile in front of them. "What else would a dragon collaborator deserve?" one of the guards said. "You'll suffer the fate you'd have seen us meet, and justice will be done." "I really don't think you're thinking this through," Victor said, and they dragged him up the pile to the stake and chained him to it. He struggled, because of course he struggled, but it was pointless. He'd been resigned to dying for quite some time, but dying in terror and agony? Maybe the smoke would kill him before the flames, he thought with some small scrap of hope. It might, right? They didn't ask him if he had any last words, or send a reverend to pray at him, or anything else he might have expected. They, in fact, lit the bonfire without preamble and with utter silence from the surrounding crowd, which unsettled him more than anything else had, and then they all watched the flames slowly rise. Victor watched too, his heart in his throat. It was too late to beg for mercy, if he'd even thought that would have done any good, and hopeless to try and break free. He could have screamed, but somehow he didn't want to give them the satisfaction. He'd be screaming soon enough anyway. The flames crept higher. Victor squeezed his eyes shut. He didn't pray, because he never had before and doubted that any god that might exist would appreciate it now. But he wished, he supposed. He supposed that was what he was doing. Wished that he had just kept his fool mouth shut. Wished that they had landed farther from the town. Wished that he had just ridden out his seat alone. Wished. Wished he weren't alone, stupidly. Victor had been alone for almost his entire life, and there was no reason to expect to die any differently. But he wished it all the same. Someone screamed. The stake wobbled inexplicably, and Victor's eyes snapped open and he looked around in confusion. What?
I told you! Humans didn't know what to do with treasure, Victor!
The dragon said from its delicate perch atop the top of the stake, wings spread wide and terrible teeth all bared. You! Victor said in disbelief, staring up at it.
Me!
The dragon said and breathed fire into the air above the crowd. The townsfolk screamed. The guards pulled out their swords and the citizens ran. The dragon's claws raked through the chains pinning Victor to the stake and they fell away in pieces. He grabbed their foreleg reflexively and the dragon lifted him up and away from the climbing flames. He didn't know what to think. Don't hurt anyone, he said, because there were children in the crowd and for no other reason than that. Please.
Why shouldn't I?
The dragon said scornfully, beating their wings hard enough to fan the flames below.
Such miserable creatures, so weak, so afraid.
There are children, Victor said, and the dragon looked down at him.
You remain an entirely singular creature, my treasure.
They said, and then crouched down and leapt into the air. The townsfolk kept screaming, and the dragon swooped low over their heads, but didn't attack. A few guards fired arrows after them, and the dragon swatted them out of the air lazily with their tail. Oh, hell! Victor said, clinging for dear life, even though the dragon was already holding him tight.
Some gratitude!
The dragon huffed, and then they flew high into the sky, and the townsfolk retreated into nothing but little specks below. Victor was terrified, but he'd been terrified for hours now, so this wasn't much of a change. The dragon flew into the clouds, and the clouds changed strangely. They came out the other side, and Victor saw no sign of the townsfolk below, or even the town itself. He did see the house, though it took him a moment to recognize it from the air. What? He gasped, and the dragon glided lazily down to land in the courtyard. How?
Magic, of course,
the dragon said dismissively, flicking an arrow out of their tail.
What else, my treasure?
Of course, Victor echoed incredulously, and then, because he wasn't actually an ungrateful fuck. Thank you. How did you even know?
I heard your wish. Now you are no longer alone.
Victor laughed, shakily, and sat down hard. He didn't know what to say. He felt dizzy and weak and could still taste smoke in his mouth, and still felt like he was burning up even though he wasn't so much as scorched. Well, that would be the heat, of course. Thank you, Really? Now, I'm just going to go inside and hide in my bed for a while.
There are no other humans here,
the dragon said, peering down at him.
It is safe.
I was more thinking about dealing with my heat, Victor said breathlessly, because he was still dazed and overwhelmed, and a very strange part of him was burning even hotter than before, specifically because of the dragon, he was almost sure, and that was a whole thing, wasn't it? They had saved him and carried him off and even called him mine, just like a proper alpha would have, he supposed, but all the same, they were a dragon.
Oh, yes,
the dragon said, leaning down and sniffing at him. Victor felt an entirely irrational urge to swoon, and all he could think about was how the dragon had been... They'd been taking care of him all this time, hadn't they? He still couldn't imagine why they would, but couldn't deny that that was what they had been doing.
You reek of lust.
That would be the heat, yes, Victor said, squeezing his thighs together for a moment before forcing himself to get to his feet. He wobbled a bit. The dragon nosed him in the shoulder blade and nearly knocked him over, then straightened back up. I need to go.
You have no partner.
I'll live.
But it will hurt you, yes? It does hurt, doesn't it?
Not like burning alive, Victor said, though he could probably draw some comparisons. At least he'd live through this. Suffer a bit, yes, but live.
I can partner you,
the dragon said, and Victor let all his breath out in a huff. You can't just kidnap someone, the dragon frowned.
No, I can do it. Certainly no human deserves to, as has been well proven.
What? Victor asked inanely, and the dragon ducked their head again and nuzzled him and suddenly smelled. What are you doing?
Magic, obviously.
Victor blinked.
I can change,
the dragon said, gesturing towards themselves with their tail.
What would you like, a male, a female, an alpha or a beta?
You don't have to change, Victor said, very aware of how heavily he was breathing, and the dragon's golden eyes glittered.
Don't I, my treasure?
They asked, and Victor clenched his fists and bit the inside of his cheek nearly to the blood. He actually had no idea what the dragon could even do for him, aside from their claims of apparently being able to do something. But the idea of them changing into some other form was not remotely appealing. He wanted the dragon as they were, not some other creature, not some stranger. You don't, he repeated, and the dragon curled in close, eyes glittering all the brighter. He was aware of how big they were all over again.
Shall we find you a nest, then?
The dragon said, and the next thing Victor knew, he was in the kitchen, overheated and breathless, and building a nest out of the blankets and mattresses the dragon had brought him that first time. He supposed they didn't need it, not really, but he felt a little better constructing it all the same. He started the fire in the oven, mostly out of habit. He didn't know what to expect. The dragon watched it all from their customary place on the counter with glittering eyes, and Victor was very, very aware of that fact.
Is it enough?
Victor wondered how he'd never noticed how goddamn sweet that voice was before. It's enough, he said, stopping by the nest and then, hesitantly, moving to undress. The dragon watched that too, and he didn't know what to think. He was human, after all. Why would a dragon like the sight of him naked? Not even a young human, and one with calloused hands and burn scars from the forge and grey in his hair and beard. But the dragon was watching him all the same, and he was very, very aware of that fact. He dropped his clothes to the floor. The dragon stepped down from the counter and prowled in closer. Victor stepped into the nest uncertainly, and the dragon followed him in. They barely fit. But they did fit.
Let me,
the dragon said, and Victor let them nose between his legs and nuzzled the inside of his bare thighs. He felt awkward and foolish and desperate to be fucked. What are you doing?
Tell me what a human likes.
Humans like a lot of things.
Tell me what you like, my treasure.
The dragon was nuzzling him again.
My Victor.
I... several things. The dragon's scaled skin rubbing up against his was making it hard to think. He had felt it before, but never anywhere so intimate. The dragon pushed her head into the small of his back, and he shuddered. If you... I don't know if you can use your mouth or...
I can use my mouth,
the dragon said, and licked a hot, wet stripe up the back of his thigh and underneath the curve of his ass. He'd pulled in Victor's stomach and shot up his spine, and he braced a hand on the wall before he could fall over like he was new or something, like he'd never been touched in his life. This was certainly a different way than he'd ever been touched before, though. That's good, he managed. The dragon did it again, and Victor bit down on the back of his hand to stifle a cry. Between... He didn't manage to get the sentence out, but that was mostly because the dragon was already doing it. They dragged their long, strange tongue up between his legs, and he choked, gasping for breath.
More of that?
Yes. The dragon listened. They licked him there again, making a curious noise, and Victor felt like he'd never been wetter in his life. Their tongue was so strange, so different from what he was used to, but it felt so good. Hot and thick and pressed in tight against his body. He spread his thighs further and the dragon licked in deeper, and Victor barely kept back the reflexive shout.
Here, yes,
the dragon said and flexed their tongue against his hole. Victor nodded frantically, pressing his forehead to the cold stone wall and biting the back of his hand again. The dragon made a sound that was very like a purr, and it vibrated through him. Victor bit down so hard he was surprised he couldn't taste blood, and his knees trembled. The dragon licked him again, then pushed their tongue inside him. He gasped in shock, fingers digging into the wall. It wasn't a cock, but it felt like one, if a cock could flex and twist like that, if a cock were that sleek and hot, if a cock were... The dragon flexed their tongue again, worming in deeper, and Victor shook. He was trying to keep quiet, trying not to sound too desperate or stupid or foolish, but he'd been heated up enough, and now there was someone who smelled like that touching him. Someone who had protected him. Someone who had taken care of and kept him. And he just... like that, he pleaded quietly, and the dragon's tongue spread him open further, the tapered end flicking inside him, and the rest of it thicker and bigger and filling him up. It wasn't thrusting or grinding, but the way it moved was so much all the same, and he had to put both hands on the wall to stay upright. He was shaking. He wanted to beg, but couldn't let himself. The dragon curled their tongue, and Victor shouted. The dragon leaned into him, breath hot and heavy against the back of his thighs, and weight pressing him forward against the wall, claws wrapping around his ankle. And Victor buried his face in the stone and felt his hole dripping slick onto the dragon's tongue. He squirmed, couldn't help it, and the dragon curled their tongue again, so big and fat inside him and so close to feeling like a knot. He didn't feel like he was keeping himself upright at all anymore, like it was all the dragon and nothing else. The dragon curled their tongue one more time, and Victor came all over it without so much as touching his cock. His vision went hazy, and he panted for breath, trying to find words. None were forthcoming. The dragon kept licking him. Hold, hold, he tried to say, but he couldn't get the words out, and the dragon just kept licking. He whimpered and clawed at the wall, hips bucking without his consent. The dragon pressed in closer. He was going to boil, it felt like, but what he actually did was come again. Deeper and quicker and more intense than before, so much so that this oversensitive body could barely handle it. He moaned helplessly, struggling against the wall and reaching down to grab at the dragon's tongue. He meant to pull it out, but all he could do was try to grip it. It was too big, too wet with saliva and his own slick, and he couldn't hold it. The dragon didn't seem to realize what he was trying to do and just kept eating him out. He tried to speak, but still couldn't find the words, and his hips kept bucking readily for more, like his body wasn't listening to him at all. His body wasn't listening to him at all. Heat, he thought lazily, and cried out again as the dragon somehow managed to lick in even deeper. He was going to come again. Was he going to come again? He'd already come twice. He came again, this time wailing with it as his vision went wide and body gave out, and the dragon finally pulled back to Victor's relief. He collapsed onto the mattress with a weak moan, body still shaking, and the dragon leaned over him and nosed at his hair.
Was that right?
Victor would have laughed if he'd had any breath to. That had been right, yes. That had been too right, and he didn't know if even his heat could keep up with the dragon. He needed a minute, just a minute, then he could tell the dragon all that. He managed to get a hand against the mattress and pushed himself up just a bit before his arms gave out and his face went right back into the blankets. His whole body felt hot, and the dragon's body felt even hotter above him. More, he slurred, because heat, and because he was ridiculous and stupid and barely holding it together. The dragon made a pleased noise and licked him again. Victor whined, but... More, he said again, insistent and reflexive, and dug his knees into the mattress and tilted his hips up. The dragon purred and his whole body jerked at the vibration. More, 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 I need more, I need it. Get it in me, fuck me, breed me, give me more.
Oh,
the dragon said, sounding pleasantly surprised.
I can do that.
Do it, Victor begged, and the dragon shifted behind him and lifted their head, scooting up to cover his body with their own, and he opened his mouth to protest, to whine, to insist. Something hot and hard pressed against his hole, and he stilled.
Like this,
the dragon said, and pushed their cock in. Victor choked. The head was tapered, small and effortlessly manageable, but that taper widened out very, very quickly and spread him wider than he'd ever been spread in his life. That's so big, he stammered stupidly, and the dragon purred.
Humans like big, yes?
They said, planting their claws on the back of his shoulder and leaning in. Their cock pushed in even deeper, and Victor moaned. Move, he managed roughly, digging his nails into the mattress, helplessly pushing back against the dragon's weight. I need you to move.
Like this,
the dragon said, and thrust. Victor shrieked. Yes, 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 don't stop, don't stop, don't, oh God, don't stop. He wailed, clawing at the mattress, and the dragon didn't stop. They leaned forward over him and thrust again and again and again, and they smelled so good and they felt so good, and Victor was going to die for real this time. This was going to be the time. Oh, gods, oh, gods, oh, oh, oh. The dragon purred again, leaning down to lick at his throat with that long, agile tongue. Victor kept shrieking, couldn't stop. He said some things, probably, but he had no idea what they were. All he could think about was the dragon's cock, big and hot and moving so effortlessly inside him, more than he'd ever taken before, but so easy to take all the same, filling him up so completely in a way he'd never, ever felt, and just absolutely devastating him. He was trying to move with it, trying to get as much of it as he could, but the dragon was weighing him down with the claws on his back, and all he could do was beg for it. Please! He cried desperately, trying to push up as much as he could, but the dragon just kept weighing him down and thrusting at their own pace, so deep and so good, but so slow. Faster, faster, please, faster. I want to come, let me come, oh please.
Of course you may come, my treasure,
the dragon said without changing their pace at all, and Victor did, came so hard and so fast that it blinded him, left him gasping and choking into the mattress, and the dragon didn't stop fucking him, because of course they didn't, of course they wouldn't. Dragon, Victor begged senselessly, too overwhelmed to protest his oversensitivity or try to worm away or anything like that. The dragon kept thrusting inside him, filling him up to the brim, to fullness, to far past where he'd ever have thought he could have taken, much less taken so easily. It wasn't even hard, didn't even require any effort or strain. He was too wet, too turned on, too needy, and the dragon slid home time and again, just like they belonged there.
My Victor,
the dragon crooned, nuzzling the nape of his neck. Victor felt like he was going to come again, wasn't sure he wasn't still coming, that he'd even stopped coming. Dragon, 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 he panted for lack of a name, hands fisting in the sheets, and the dragon fucked him and fucked him and fucked him, merciless and easy and so, so brutal. Victor had never felt like this during a heat. A normal heat was just a favor someone was doing him, a quick and businesslike exchange, but this... Oh, oh, oh! The dragon nuzzled him again. He came again. He tried to figure out how long a dragon could last. The dragon hadn't shown any signs of slowing down or even coming close to it coming. The moment he thought that, though, it was the only thing he wanted. Inside me. I need you to come inside me. I need fill me up, fuck me hard, give me your pups, breed me. It was something he had never asked of another heat partner, because of course it was always just a favor being done, a brief and temporary thing that didn't mean anything. So of course he would ask it now, with the one partner who absolutely couldn't do it. He couldn't help himself, though, and couldn't bring himself to try to. It felt too good, and the dragon was too good, and...
Of course, my treasure,
the dragon purred, and just a few thrusts later, Victor felt them coming inside him, filling him up all over again, so much so that he couldn't even hold it all. He moaned, body quaking. The dragon nuzzled him again, weighing him down even heavier into the mattresses, and breathing heavily in his ear. Oh, he managed, barely.
Good,
the dragon murmured, and Victor squirmed underneath them. It was good, yes, it was so good, but... I need to come, he whined, and the dragon made an understanding sound and pulled back. Victor could have fucking cried, but then their tongue was inside him again, curling like a knot, and he was too busy moaning, sweating and aching and desperate, and... He came again, shaking and collapsed onto the mattresses. The dragon curled up around him, humming contentedly to themselves. Victor was too exhausted to speak or look at them or do anything but lay there in a wrecked heap and sleep. It was the best he could remember feeling in a long, long time.
How long is a human heat?
The dragon asked after some time. Victor cracked open an eye, grudgingly disturbing the warm buzz of satiation rolling through his heavy, worn-out body. It depends, he said, shifting over to lay his head on the dragon's flank. Why not, he thought. It was comfortable. A day or so usually, longer without a partner, shorter if you get bred.
I see.
The dragon hummed and nuzzled him again. Victor returned the gesture this time and nearly got poked in the eye with a horn, but still considered it worth it. The next wave of his heat would be rising any time, though, and he wanted to rest before it. He should probably get some water, too, and clean up a bit and find something to eat, and... The dragon nuzzled him again. Something in Victor melted, and he leaned into the contact. He would worry about the rest of it later, he thought.
I told you I would have a fine, fine horde, my treasure,
the dragon said smugly, and Victor still didn't understand, but didn't mind at all.
The end.
You've just finished listening to the Victor Go the Spoils by Suzuki Blue. If you enjoyed the story, please leave the author some feedback on AO3. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Zan_reads on AO3. That's Zan with an X at the beginning. Thank you to the author for giving blanket permission to Podfic. And thank you to Nat for being my beta on this project. The music used for scene breaks is Only by Imagine Dragons. The story was recorded on the 18th of December 2020 as a gift for Freckle Bomb and the Winter Podfic Treats Exchange. I hope you like this. And now for some reader free talk. Okay, first of all, there is a second chapter available which I didn't podfic. This has 2.5 reasons. First is that when I read that story for the first time a while ago, the second chapter didn't exist yet. So when I decided I wanted to podfic it, I only meant to podfic the first chapter in the first place. The second reason is that the second chapter deals with male pregnancy, which isn't my cup of tea, and neither is it Frickle Bomb's. But if you want to read it, go ahead and check out the work on AO3. There's more porn in the second chapter, as well as discussion of abortion, just so you're aware. The half reason is, I began recording the second part, actually, and then I decided less than halfway through that I had no interest in recording that part of the story because of the male pregnancy and because I remembered that Frickle Bomb doesn't like that either. So I stopped, and then after I stopped, or as I was reaching to stop recording, I realized that my recorder's battery had died anyway. So I was panicking for a minute because I thought that it had already died before I was done with the first part. But I was lucky enough that it had lasted long enough to record all of the first part and some of the second part, which then I decided to scrap. I picked this story to record for Frickle Bomb because it felt like they'd have fun listening to it, going by what I know about the types of fics they record and read. And to my delight, I found out that I was at their bookmarks already, so I definitely hit the nail on the head here. My favorite part in the story is probably when Victor realizes that the dragon is the equivalent of a freshly drafted hockey player of only 18 or 19 years. So in other words, the dragon appears to be a himbo, and I love himbos! And I made a choice about how I wanted to pronounce Victor's name, and I don't know if anyone truly noticed. The more English pronunciation, as far as I know, would have been Victor, and that's what the dragon keeps calling him, and I'll get into that in a second.
However, in the text, Victor's name is spelled with a K, which makes it look German or Russian, depending on where you're from. Plus, all medieval type settings, which this is one, even though they have knowledge about scurvy and Victor knows how to read, which as a peasant he wouldn't have done. But let's leave all of that aside. It's a fantasy setting. I don't care. But anyway, it is a medieval type fantasy settings, and those always feel vaguely German to me. That's probably because I am German and we have a long, long history, but that's my first impression usually when I have fantasy medieval settings. I think of Germany. Either way, I decided to pronounce the name like we would in Germany, which is Victor. And I'm sure I slipped a few times and didn't get it exactly right. That's because it's hard for me to switch between English and German in the middle of a sentence. I have to be very deliberate about it. And then there is a pause because I go Victor, especially if it's just one word. So a German word in the middle of a sentence, I'm more likely to pronounce in an English way than in a German way, especially if there are two different versions of pronouncing the name or the word in the first place. So anyway, anytime the story mentions Victor, his name is Victor because it's always spelled with a K. But when the dragon calls him by his name, it's usually the honorific Victor spelled with a C, which is why the dragon pronounces it Victor and not Victor. Like I said, I don't know if anyone truly noticed, but I wanted to mark the difference as best as I could, and I wanted to let you know that I did this in case you want to go back and listen for it. For the dragon's voice, well, that was a challenge, but also a lot of fun in the end. I read all the dragon's lines like this. Which gave me a sore throat and made me hoarse, but, you know, it was worth it. Then I went onto YouTube and found this tutorial by Nature's Temper. It's linked in my AO3 post. I followed that pretty closely, just changed a few of the reverb settings. So basically what I did is I lowered the pitch by 25%. Then I copied that segment onto a new track in the same spot as the original. I put a reverb on the copy. And for those of you who also use Audacity, there's a preset called Small Room Dark. And I used that one. I also made sure to add a label to the beginning of the segment because I knew I'd need a marker of where the dragon spoke for steps later on. And I did this for all the bits of dragon dialogue in the story. And at the end, I mixed and rendered the two tracks into a new track. I mean, I could have mixed them into the original track, but I'm paranoid and I like to keep copies of various stages of the editing process. So I mixed and rendered to a new track, which is a edit option in Audacity. And once I had the new track, I muted the other two tracks, and with the help of the labels that I said earlier, I found all the parts of the dragon dialogue again, and now I had to apply the bass and treble effect. The tutorial that I mentioned suggests some settings which I used. And then I listened through all the bits again and lowered the volume of some of them. Because some of them were rather shouty because the dragon was angry and actually yelling, but I was worried that it might be too surprising, and my beta said that some of them were a bit too loud, so I went and lowered the volume of some of these. I think it's fine if you listen to them on speakers, but most Podfic listeners don't listen to Podfic on speakers. They will listen to them through headphones. So I don't want anyone using headphones to get a heart attack, so I lowered some of the volume. But my beta also told me that they got shivers when the dragon spoke for the first time, so I'm considering the effort well worth it. I'm really interested in hearing what everybody else thought about, especially the dragon's voice, how you felt when you heard it. Please let me know, because I think that's one of the first times, or like not one of the first times, but one of the few times that I used so many effects on a voice to make it sound so significantly different from my actual voice. Okay, song choice. I asked several friends to tell me what songs they know that remind them of either flying or fire or straight up dragons. And I received a few wonderful recommendations, including the band Dragon Force, Ed Sheeran's song about Smaug, and some other songs. But None of them were quite right. Dragon Force's songs are mostly about war and fighting, which didn't fit the story. And Ed Sheeran's song is too obviously for a different fandom, so I didn't use that. And there are other suggestions, like I said, just didn't feel right either. So, on a whim, I decided to check the discography of the band Imagine Dragons, who basically never sing about actual, or indeed, Imagine Dragons, but I love their music a lot, and they have a vibe that I like. And the song Only fit pretty perfectly, in my opinion, from both the point of views of the characters, but mostly from the dragons. So I tried to use parts of the song that most accurately represented the part of the story where I used them, or rather it's about the level of feelings the dragon was having at that moment or in that scene. And sometimes I just went with the instrumental part from the beginning because the song has some big feelings and I didn't want to spoil too much, I suppose, by revealing the big feelings too early, I guess. So if you've listened to the whole song as I put it in at the end and paid attention to the lyrics, you might have figured out that it's about someone who falls deeply in love with someone else and devotes their life to making them happy and to being loyal to them. And if that isn't exactly how this dragon is feeling, I don't know what is. Finally, we're getting to the end, I promise. A note about the cover. There's this game called King Domino. I don't know if you know it, it's a lot of fun. It's pretty popular in my friends group. The game mechanics actually have nothing to do with this story, but a few of the domino tiles depict a green field with grazing sheep and then the shadow of a dragon flying overhead, like you see on the cover. And I've had this image because I've seen these domino tiles several times in my life now. Like, we've been playing this for over a year pretty regularly, so I've seen this tile a lot, and there are several tiles like that. I've had this image in my head pretty much right away, and I tried finding other images like it, but I simply couldn't find what I was looking for. So eventually I just found a shot of the game where the field and the sheep and the dragon were perfectly placed, and a single castle is at the edge, which in my mind is the big house that the dragon took Victor to. So I highly recommend the game, it's a lot of fun, and the illustrations are absolutely adorable, and on top of that, they made a really great potfic cover for this story. Last but not least, I don't think there's any change in my voice yet, but for statistics' sakes, I'll tell you that I recorded a story when I was 9 weeks on testosterone. So thank you for listening all the way to the end. As your prize, I will add some outtakes for you to enjoy. Bye!
Victor said in an... Victor. He wasn't resigned, exactly.
Oh, I hate you.
Ah, I need to breathe better. They'd get by fine without Johan.
Victor. You are difficult, the dragon said.
I really need to drink.
They're supposed to come.
This is seriously fucking with my voice.
We have places to be.
Why did I choose this voice for the dragon?
I am grown.
And I am getting a sore throat.